Guest this morning, friend Kyle Bacon. He's the sheriff of Franklin County. Morning, Sheriff. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm good.
You know, this incident that happened Saturday morning, you know, I want to get to that, but first things first, Franklin County Sheriff Kyle Bacon, the deputy that was dragged by the person that's in custody now, how's the deputy?
Doing much better, recovering, and we expect him to be back to work, you know, maybe next week. So doing well.
Good. Want to check priorities, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this person, I mean, we've had so many questions from our listeners. So suddenly get a phone call at 6:15 about a man standing and screaming at people in the road, attempting to get in cars, and that's where this begins?
Yeah, we received a first call that he was in the roadway flagging down cars, and the caller did slow down and the person was kind of erratic and lifting up on the door handle, trying to open the door, and she just sped away and called us. And, of course, the deputy was dispatched out there. And, you know, initially, they located him, he was complacent, not an issue. But it progressively went downhill until it eventually ended in in the confrontation between the deputy and this suspect.
You know how people is, and whenever I were telling people the story personally, they said, "Well, meth, right?" I said, "No, there were no drug charges involved here."
No drug charges involved. This person was from Tennessee. We have done some follow-up work there. There is no really understanding of why he was here, what he was doing here. There's no family here. There's no friends that we're aware of here. And this is he's from 3 hours away, you know, east of Memphis. So there's no drug charges, we don't exactly know what, you know, why his demeanor was what it is.
Yeah, or how he got here. I mean, you know, I almost was left with the idea that he maybe hitchhiked, you know, at some point and got here. So the gentleman here in question is able to get the sheriff deputy's car. It's crashed at Rend Lake, and then he hides, and then the next wave of officers finds him. What happened in that scenario, this kind of the second part of the story?
Sure. We were able to see the location of the vehicle, and deputies were, additional deputies were responding, municipal officers from throughout the county, who we are always thankful for, and their assistance. They were responding. Abbott AMR ambulance was treating the deputy. And when the squad car was crashed, the suspect actually confronted a elderly man who was at Rend Lake walking a dog, battered him, attempted to steal his vehicle. It was locked. He couldn't get in the car and fled on foot, and concealed himself within a fenced-in area owned by the Army Corps of Engineers. So additional deputies and municipal officers were able to locate him within that area and took him into custody without any further incident, which was a good thing.
All right, so the subject identified Adrian Perry, 36, from Bells, Tennessee, held in Franklin County Jail, charged with attempted first-degree murder, aggravated battery, two of those, vehicular hijacking, attempted vehicular hijacking, criminal damage to government-supported property. That's the Rend Lake and the crash, and, of course, the car involved. Now, here's the real reason I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to set the stage for this person in particular because there's something worthy of note. This happened at 6:15 on Saturday morning. Cashless bail and all that we know about this. How was this handled under these new circumstances that the police and the state's attorneys are working on? I mean, it happened on a Saturday. You've got to make a decision about getting him back on the street or not. How did that process go when it's applied to this case?
Well, I received this call fairly early, 6:15, 6:30. Got a phone call of this incident. I jumped in the car. I called a detective. We already had the chief deputy, patrol lieutenant on the way. We gathered up as many folks as we could because we know that if we get him in custody, we're on a timeline. of putting a at least a partial case together for the detention hearing. You know, so we began working this case on Saturday. Personnel worked it into the evening Saturday night. Some work was done on Sunday. We had an early morning meeting with the state's attorney's office Monday, and then Monday morning was a detention hearing. And, you know, these hearings, you have to put on evidence. You know, I mean, you can call witnesses, but some of it is just by argument only. And, you know, we have to be able to provide significant information to the state's attorney so that her office can argue for detention, and that's exactly what happened.
I mean, almost get the impression, Kyle, that you have to start preparing to keep this person while the crime is still occurring.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that. I'm thinking, okay, we get him in custody, we're on the timeline, you know. And that's why, you know, we wouldn't necessarily always call out a detective to, you know, we're certain things that we do that for. But that was my first thought. We've got to get them in because, hey, we may need search warrants. We may need interviews, all these different things that that we want to make sure that we've got everything ready for this detention hearing on Monday morning. And that's what happened. We had the hearing based on the charges, based on a concern of flight. The subject was detained and is held in our jail as we speak.
All right, a couple questions. Were you in the courtroom at the time of this?
I was.
Did you ever get the impression that there was any question about whether this man would be released? Did you feel like going in there that you feel like maybe we wouldn't be able to do that, the threshold hadn't been met? I mean, I'm wondering about that process because clearly a danger, right?
Yes.
Physically attacked, dragging police officers, beating an elderly man while walking dog. Not much question here. Did you feel that there ever was one while you were in the courtroom?
I believe that there was not a question that he would be detained. You know, I will say, you know, this subject's made a statement that, you know, if I get bond, I'm going to flee. You know, I'm not coming back here. And I said, well, it's, you know, it's interesting that you say that. And in 49 other states, that might apply, but that's going to cause you problems in Illinois. Because willful flight, or, you know, is would qualify for detention. Now, I, you know, my concern though is this, and continues to be my concern: the Safety Act limits the discretion and authority of the judges, and sometimes, just like the police, the judges are under the requirements of the act on what they can do and what they can't do, and. So there's some concern there. I believe that he was going to be detained, but there may be other cases where we argue for detention and it doesn't happen. And I don't necessarily blame the judges. I blame the position that they've been put in by the Safety Act.
All right. Kyle Bacon, I really appreciate you, sharing, because this is a story, you know, that I want to track in the different circumstances. Have you to date run into any case where somebody was released that you thought maybe that was not in the best interest of law enforcement or the safety of the community?
Well, you know, I'm a policeman. You know, I'm a law enforcement person, and I think that, you know, that there should be an immediate consequence of arrest if you violate the law. So I don't think that any prosecutors or any policemen are really too happy about anyone being released without bond. We have released, you know, we went from a daily average population of 100. We're sitting at about 55 right now. We have seen some of those people come back to our jail on new offenses. We have seen some of those people begin to fail to appear in court. And I think maybe around the end of the year, first of the year, we're going to really be able to see how things are working with the Safety Act. And I have some concern about people appearing in court and failing to appear in court, but we'll see how that shakes out.
You know, that's one of the things that I don't think gets enough credit. The effort that goes into apprehending someone only to have them released again. I think that sheer effort that it takes, right, it gets kind of lost in there. And yeah. Let me give you an example. Two gentlemen, Northern Illinois, 5,200 pounds of marijuana, one of the largest marijuana busts in history of the state of Illinois, in a bus or box truck. They got, you know, 2.5 tons of marijuana. They're both from California, and they let them go on cashless bail. I mean, I don't know what the odds makers would give me on those two people showing up on for the judge. You know what I mean? And the effort exactly. that took to process, photograph, document, and say, go about your day, they go to California and go, na, 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 or something equally childish. That's what I envision.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, virtually no drug offense, unless it involves a gun or is non-probationable, is detainable. Well, I have said, you know, that's my one of my main arguments is, you know, the low-level and mid-level drug offenders that are users and are maybe, you know, selling to support their habit. Those are our main issues. And those people, none of them are being detained. Well, what they are also doing is committing thefts and burglaries, which we can't hardly keep up with. So we book them in the jail. We send them out the front doors. And what are they doing? They're using again. And they are stealing our stuff, committing thefts, burglaries. And that is a real issue. And that's where the expansion of the detention net needs to happen for those types of offenses.
Franklin County Sheriff Kyle Bacon.